Okay, let's do some keep it of aim. As you might imagine, this is not going to be, anything new, probably. Maybe there'll be some new stuff, but this is pretty straightforward. Keep it of aim, halachos. Again, keep it of aim is something that everybody struggles with.
Getting a red pass.
How are you? Keep it of aim is something that everybody struggles with. Obviously, I think nowadays just generational, maybe. I don't know. We tend to rebel, right? All the movies are about, rebellious nature against rage against machine. I don't know. But it's in a kid's nature to rebel and not listen to their parents. Was it always like that? I have no idea. But in my day it was, and certainly nowadays I think it is as well. That's why it's difficult. And B, it's difficult because it's not like, shaking lulav or eating matzah. The scope of this mitzvah is literally limitless and almost never ending. The Yerushalmi says in Maseches Peah at the beginning, it says it's the chamura shebachamuros, one of the most serious mitzvahs. And if that's not enough, right, Chazal have endless examples of how far one must go to honor your parents, to the point where Rabbi Yochanan says in the Gemara Kiddushin, right, those are the sugyas over there, and the Gemara Kiddushin, Daf Lamed Aleph, Rabbi Yochanan says, fortunate is one who never saw his parents, which is obviously terribly intense, but what Rashi explains is that it means because it's impossible to honor them as much as necessary, and a person gets punished for not honoring them, right, as much as necessary. So now, again, just to mitigate that a little bit, I saw in the Rav Melech's Kuntros on Kibbutz Avim, he quotes a Chazon Ish, tell a story about the Chazon Ish, and the Chazon Ish used to say that when a person has parents, Baruch Hashem, then it is fortunate is one who saw his parents and honored them, meaning that once a person is blessed with parents, obviously we have an obligation to honor them to the fullest extent. Obviously, Chas Shalom, we don't wish that we don't have parents, right? That's not a thing. He's just explaining how intense and how serious, right, the mitzvah of Kibbutz Av is. Other just to run through that Gemara and Kiddushin a little bit, just a couple of examples of how far Kibbutz Av goes. Again, we think of Kibbutz Av, right? You guys asked me to talk about it, so you're like, oh, how do I, listen to my parents when they ask me to do something that's annoying? The extent to which Kibbutz Av goes is so far that we don't even realize, right, how little we're doing. Just to give you a list, again, just to read it off the Gemara, no Chiddushim here. Rabbi Yosef says that when he heard his mother's footsteps, he would say, "Let me rise for the Shechina that is coming." Rabbi Tarfon, whenever his mother would want to climb into bed, he would bend down, she would climb onto him. And when she would get down from the bed, he would do the same. He would bend down, she would use him as a step stool. And Rabbi Tarfon was proud of himself, went to the Beis Medrash, told everybody how great he was at keeping out of aim. And they said to him, "You have not even reached half of the kavod that you need to do for your mother." And they give the example of, and they said to him, and as you'll see, this is one of the answers later that someone else quotes, but they said to him, "Has your mother ever thrown a bag of money into the sea in front of you and you didn't yell and embarrass her?" That's how far Kibbutz Av Aim goes. And that's what the Gemara said. They asked Rabbi Elazar, how far does Kibbutz Av Aim extend? And he said, to the point where your parent takes your wallet and throws it into the sea in front of you and you don't yell and scream at them. The Gemara gives the example of the paradigm of Kibbutz Av Aim was, fascinatingly enough, a goy named, perhaps you've heard of it, Radama ben Nesina, that the Chazal wanted to buy something for him for 600,000 gold dinars, but the key was under the pillow of his father, right? Didn't want to wake his father to get the key. The Gemara then elaborates on that story, and Rabbi Lezer says that he is the paradigm, and he lived in Ashkelon. They wanted the Chachamim wanted to buy an ephod, one of the stones for the shoulder of the Kohen Gadol, for 600,000. Rabbi Kana says it was 800,000 gold pieces. And long story short, right, he didn't take the key that was under his father's pillow. The next year, Dama ben Nesina was blessed with a Parah Aduma, and they wanted to buy. And Dama ben Nesina said to him, "I know you guys would give me anything for this Parah Aduma, but I'm just going to ask for the amount of money I lost when I did not disturb my father." And furthermore, Rav Dimi tells a story that he was, this guy, Dama ben Nesina, was sitting in Rome amongst the nobles, wearing a golden silk robe. And again, as we explained before, his mother came and ripped it off of him and hit him on the face and spat him in the on the head, right? Spat in his face, hit him on the head, right? That's what it was, right? Spat in his face, hit him on the head, and he didn't lose his cool, didn't get angry. Another version of that story is that right afterwards, her slipper fell off and he calmly bent down and handed it back to her like nothing had happened. Rabbi Avo says that his son Avimi fulfilled Kibbutz Av Aim. How so? Because once Rabbi Avo asked for a cup of water, and when obviously that wasn't like go to the fridge, that's like go down to the well. So by the time Avimi came back with the water from the well, Rabbi Avo had fallen asleep. And when Rabbi Avo woke up, Avimi was still there waiting for him to give him the water. Right, there's more, but you get the point. Right, the level of Kibbutz Ve'Eim is so far and beyond what we think is appropriate, and it's not just cultural norms. We have to do so much. Again, we're like I said before, the shilas you get about Kibbutz Ve'Eim, it's like my parents are annoying me. Do I have to listen to them to take my little brother down the street? Yes, the answer is yes, and like a bajillion things more than that. The Gemara says in Kiddushin there as well that again shlosha shutvim ba'adam. Again, a Gemara that comes up in different contexts that there are three partners with a person to create a person, obviously father, mother, and a Kosh Baruch Hu. And the Gemara says b'zman she'adam, if you honor your parents, Amar Kosh Baruch Hu ma'alani aleihem ki'ilu darti b'neihem v'chibduni. That a Kosh Baruch Hu considers it as if he has lived amongst you and you have honored him. And kol hametzar av v'imo kilu tzar es hashchina. And conversely, if you bother your parents, if you annoy your parents, it's as if you annoyed Kosh Baruch Hu. So this mitzvah goes to great extent, and we really need to have chizik in it. We're going to try and give a little bit of chizik here in the next couple of minutes. Why is it, I would argue, why is it that someone who bothers your parents as if he bothers a Kosh Baruch Hu? Why is this mitzvah so serious? Why is it so shaykh and difficult and to fulfill to the extent that it is? So I would argue, perhaps, that it's based on the Ramban at the end of Parshas Bo. The Ramban says at the end of Parshas Bo that the per loosely trans loosely worded, he says the purpose of creation is liyeda uliyoda, to know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world and to give him thanks for it. And I would just simply argue that if you can't recognize the immediate good that your parents have done for you, right, the obvious, right, giving and good that they have done, so how are we supposed to recognize all the good that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right, has done for us? And at that point, right, again, it says elsewhere that it's as if you're Kofar Be'ikar, right? The Rav Chaim quotes in Orchos Yosher that there's a Tosefta in Mesechus Shavuos. We're doing Shavuos in the Daf Yomi, so that says that they asked Rabbi Reuven, who is the most despicable person in the entire world, and the Tosefta says someone who's Kofar Tov, someone who denies the good that their parents did for them. It's as if they're Kofar Be'ikar. It's as if they're not Bikores. So I would argue it's the same idea, and that the whole point of the world is for us to recognize a Kosh Baruch Hu's good Chesedim, and if we can't even recognize the goodness that our parents have so obviously done for us. Right, so then we're not going to be able to recognize the good that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for us as well.
I have a question.
Yeah, sure.
It's okay. The respecting your parents, why is it in the Ten Commandments? Is it in the Ten
Yeah,
Commandments?
yes, it is. Excellent. Correct.
Why
Why?
is it, how did it make the list? Like, what about it, like, makes it top 10?
So I think on along the same lines that if you can't appreciate what your parents have done for you, so you can't appreciate what Hashem has done for you. Right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu has said that I want you to honor your parents as a paradigm for honoring me, as like and I think that if we don't have that basic level of recognition, right, so I think that our Judaism is very, very lacking. Right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, again, it's on the HaKadosh Baruch Hu side, right? It's on the Ben Adam LeMakom side. Right, of the Ten Commandments, and for this reason, right, that I think I would argue. I'm sure there are other reasons, but I would argue it's for this exact point. Okay.
Wait, I have a question.
Yeah, shoot.
Wait, to clarify, you said that Hashem made the world so we could recognize all the good he does for us.
Right.
And that if we can't recognize our parents, how can we recognize Hashem?
Right, that's what I would argue.
But Hashem made the world so we could recognize the good he does for us? That's like,
What do you
I
mean?
thought he made the world to do chesed.
Right. Sorry,
For
say
us
again.
to
Just say better.
recognize. Wait, I'm confused.
I would argue yeah. Say
No, you go.
no, you go. It's your question.
Okay, wait, Hashem. Okay, wait. You said Hashem made the world
Right.
so we can recognize the good that he does for us.
That's the Ramban at the end of the Parshas Bo.
But I thought Hashem made the world just to do good. I didn't know it was also so we recognize it.
Yes, 100%. There are other aspects. There are other answers as to why Kosh Baruch Hu created the world. The Ramban at the end of Parshas Bo happens to say that we should recognize and give him thanks for it. That's
Okay.
what he says. So again, I would argue along the same lines that that's the Inyan of Kibbutz Ve'Eim, right? That's the Sefer HaChinuch, right? So that's it's a logical mitzvah, but to give thanks to the people that kind of raised us. But along the same lines, right? Again, that's the Gemara connects honoring our parents with honoring Kosh Baruch Hu. There are other makoros like that also. Okay, just a little bit further. We'll, I just in terms of if you need like a little bit of motivation, I don't know, to kind of fix yourself a little bit. The Peleliotes writes that, and this is very true, and other people write this as well, that the way a person acts towards their parents is the way the children will act towards them. And Rav Melech points out the Bali Haremes, that the Bali Haremes, the people who bring hints, which probably means himself. Yeah, that the Pasuk says in Bereishis that when Esav brought food to Yitzchak right before his bracha, the Pasuk says Vayaveh le'aviv. Now, I'm not going to spell. This is not going to lose a little bit of juice over a Zoom, but the words Vayaveh le'aviv that you bring to your he brought to his father. That's what it literally means, right? That is a palindrome, that it goes both ways, right? Vav yud beis aleph, okay, lamed, aleph beis vav yud beis yud vav. It flips back and forth. I mean, it could be read backwards and forwards. So he just points out that so to keep it of aim, if a person honors their parents, right, their kids, your kids will honor you, right? And if you
That doesn't
don't,
make sense because
so
my
your
parents
kid won't
honor
either.
their, sorry, Rabbi, but my parents honor their parents and we don't really honor our parents.
No, you don't think so? Right. Okay. It may not be true across the board.
So if I don't honor my parents, can my kids honor me more?
Probably not. Probably not. If they see the way, if they, yeah, if they see that happening. Right, if you're modeling, right, lack of kavod, so then oh wow, Gabby, aren't you fine? Amazing. Oh, welcome. Catching a last cheer, legend.
She's incredible.
Baruch Hashem.
She is the
Maybe you pushed off your
moment.
flight. Okay, Mrs. Shem. Amazing. Tough. Okay, let's
Wait,
go. Just go.
I have
Yeah,
a
shoot.
continuation of my
Yeah,
question.
shoot.
Oh, I lost it. This is so nice. Okay.
We'll
I'll have
mention
to
a
get back
couple of
on
these
this.
again.
Thanks.
Yeah, we'll come back to it. Yeah, well, before we go with the hashkafa, I do want to just point out that I thought, actually, I realize now that I probably should have done this at the outset. I do want to just go through a couple notes of halacha. This is not a halacha share. We're not going to go through all the examples and all the halachos, etc. But it is probably valuable just to point out that there are two aspects to kibud av aim. The famous one being kibud av aim. Right, that's Kavedas Avicha Vesimecha, as somebody pointed out, is Seres Hadibros. And that is anything where the parent derives some benefit, physical, personal, emotional, etc. Like giving them food, or giving them drink, or clothing, bringing them in and out, transportation. Right, so that's the realm of kavod. There's also something called yira. That Yiras Hashem, the Pasuk says in Parshas Kedoshim, Ish imo v'aviv tiro, that a person should fear and have, or pro more properly translated, have awe of their parents. And that's what the Gemara says, Hukash kvodi l'kvodo shel makom, that the kavod of their parents are connected to the kavod of Hashem. That's the inyan of like not sitting in their seat, not contradicting them, not calling them by their first name. And that's there's two of those aspects over there, right? There's the honoring through actions and giving them benefit, and then treating them appropriately. And Shulchan Aruch says, right, that vayira min melech machem lachem shetzivo bekach, right, that you should have the same kind of, if you can, right, kind of equate and kind of translate the fear you have of Kadosh Baruch Hu, right, into the fear you have of your parents. So those should be kind of like in the same vein. The one thing I will mention again, this is not a halacha share, but I want to do mention one more thing, that Rav Chaim in Orchos Yosher, Rav Chaim Kanievsky, right, points out that a real aspect of Kibud Av Va'Eim is not only the action that you're doing, right, but the honoring that you're doing along with the action. Meaning, the way you do things in Kibud Av Va'Eim, right, is crucial as well. You should to do things with sefer panim yafos, with a smile, with a pleasantness, not just like, oh, fine, take this food or whatever. And he quotes the Gemara there in Kiddushin that we didn't mention yet, but the Gemara there says that a person can feed his parents a fatty, delicious bird, right, delicious food, and that act drives the son, the child, from the world. And there's also a child who makes their parent do hard work, like grinding grain in a millstone, and that brings the son to Olam Haba. And Rashi explains that it all depends on the child's attitude when they do the Kibud Av Va'Eim, right? If a child gives their parent a delicious meal, right, but does so with like obvious resentment, right, so that turns the kibud into something that makes him deserving of death, of being driven from the world. It's not really honoring them; it's making them feel terrible, right? On the flip side, if a child makes their parent work hard, right, but does so with like comforting and encouraging words, let's say it's good for him to work, or he knows that this is good for the father to do, for his mental health, his physical health, whatever. So then that gets him Olam Haba. Right? It's all in how you do it. It's all how you act. So don't think it's not just like a checklist. If you're having a hard time, right, a parent wants you to go shopping, so you shouldn't be like, fine, and you go out the door and take the keys or whatever. her, that's not helpful, right? It's very, very important to do all the kibud av va'eim stuff, right, with the sefer panim yafos, with the proper not motivation, but the proper outlook and the proper giving them a smile, et cetera, et cetera. Rav Yisrael Chaim Druk, who was a Rav in the Great Synagogue in Yerushalayim, I saw in the Sefer Menuchas Yisrael, he says that a person, again, really needs to realize how important this mitzvah is, and really take chizuk in it, just like the Musar that you would learn about Lashon Hara and all these other halachos. Person really needs to be mechazik himself. He quotes the Sefer Chinuch, points out that, again, it's a logical mitzvah, right, based on the Karz HaTov, right? Even that non-Jews understand this mitzvah, right? They understand very basically that we owe our parents, right, in the very least, right, for birthing us, and we'll get to a rant about that soon. But Rav Druk points out that there's a pasuk in Vayis Chanan that says, "Kavod Avicha V'Imecha, Kasher Tzivcha Hashem Elokecha." You should honor your parents as Hashem commanded you. The implication is that it's only because Hashem commanded us. And the Aruch HaShulchan writes in Yoredeya that this pasuk means that we shouldn't only honor our parents because of logic, but because Hashem commanded us. We should treat it, right, if you're having a hard time doing it, for whatever reason, your parents rub you the wrong way, and you have the logic doesn't dictate, for whatever reason, it doesn't compute in your brain that you should logically honor them. You should do it because Hashem commanded, just like any of the other mitzvah, lulav, matzah, etc. Rav Druk points out that's perhaps the reason for that is because our parents are part of Shelshel Samasora, right? It's part of the connection to the previous generations, right? We know there's a concept of Yiridus Hadoros, so the generations kind of get worse as we go along, and simply because they are one generation closer to Matan Torah, right? They are our own personal link, right, to our heritage, right? Our own personal, like, foundation of Bi'imun and Bitachon, and we should treat them as such, right? They're not just our parents, right? They're also, right, the people who connect us back to our ancestors. That is a famous story of Yaakov Kamenetsky, who was flying, again, probably 40, 50 years ago, right, in the first class on an airline to Eretz Yisrael, or back from Eretz Yisrael, I'm not sure, he lived in New America, and he's sitting next to a secular Jewish professor, again, in like one of the colleges in Israel, and Rav Kamenetsky's grandson, who was sitting in coach, right, kept on coming up and asking if he needed something. Apparently, that was before they had those curtains, right, before they let people, not let people go in from coach to first class. Anyway, so Rav Kamenetsky's grandson kept on asking if he needed something, and the professor finally leaned over and said, "My grandson's back there also. And he hasn't come up once, right? What's the difference between me and you? Why does your grandson keep on coming to ask if you need something, and my grandson couldn't care less?" So Kamenetsky responded, "Well, you, right, secular professor, teach, right, the theory of evolution, right, that you are descended from apes, from monkeys. So the older generation is just one step closer to the apes, right? We teach, right, that we are descended from man, and our faith comes from revelation, from Har Sinai. So the older generation is just one step closer to Maimon Har Sinai, one step closer to seeing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and so they honor us, but your grandkids, right, don't honor you." The Medrash tells of Rabbi Yeshua ben Ilaim, who was the Gadol Hador at that time. Again, I'm not sure exactly what time, probably around the thousands, right? Maybe even before 1000 AD. Over 1,000 years ago, was told in a dream that his share in the world of the world to come, right, his share in Olam Haba, right, was equal to this guy named Nanas, this butcher named Nanas. So Rabbi Shub ben Elam was confused, and he went to find him to see. Meaning he thought that that was like a slap in the face. So he went to find him. He went to search again without getting dramatic, like the Medrash. But basically, everybody wanted to know, what does the Gadol Ador want with this random butcher named Nanas? So basically, long story short, he found him in a small city, and the people said, "He's like a weird, filthy, dirty guy. No one learns with him. What's going on? Why do you want him?" And so he went over to him, and Yehoshua ben Elaim asked Nanas what his merits were, what he does. And he said that he has old parents who cannot stand, and every day he dresses them, and he feeds them, and he bathes them, and he takes care of them himself. And basically, Rabbi Yehoshua ben Elaim kissed him on his head and said, "Ashrecha, right, that my portion of the world to come is next to you." In every aspect of our lives, right, we have to honor our parents, right? Even if you're doing your own work and you have an opportunity to honor them, right, you should do it. Now, the halakha happens to be that if you are, let's say, busy with making parnas and your parent asks you for something and you're trying to support your family, you may not necessarily have to listen. But if you can honor your parents while doing your own thing, you should try and do that as well. Now, the Taz writes in Divrei David, that's a sefer on the Chumash, a fascinating story about Rashi, right? Rashi, right, you guys know, at the beginning of the Torah, Rashi starts his commentary on the Chumash, pretty much the first Rashi or the second, I don't remember, is why does the Torah start from Bereishis? It should have started from Achodesh HaZalachem, Right, you guys familiar, right? You've heard that question? Good. So we're getting into the answer. If you ever notice, and next time you read it, maybe you will notice, Rashi says, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Rabbi Yitzchak says, and he asks this question, right? Why does the Torah start from a Chodesh Zelachem? Why does it start from Bereishis, etc.? So the Taz writes that while there is a Rabbi Yitzchak that we find in the Gemara, the Midrashim, etc., he doesn't say that anywhere. Right. Rashi, again, as usually, Rashi quotes a Medrash, a Sefri, a Gemara. Rashi rarely is writing his own thing when he's commentary on the Chumash. Sometimes he does, but usually he's quoting something. The Taz says, we never find Rabbi Yitzchak asking this question anywhere else. So the Taz says, Rashi's name was, right, Rabbi Shlomo Yitzchaki. His father was Yitzchak. And apparently, Taz says that Rashi asked his father to ask him a question so that Rashi could write it at the beginning of his sefer. He wanted his commentary to start with something from his father. And therefore, the Hagdama, the first thing that Rashi wrote in his commentary on the Torah, right, is Kibud Av Va'Em. And again, Rav Melech quotes that, and the Taz quotes that. And basically, that he just points out that that is something that we can do. Even again, Rashi was writing a commentary in Chumash, nothing to do with Kibud Av Va'Em, but he incorporated Kibud Av Va'Em right into his day. So if you can do that as well, right, you're going shopping and you ask, call your mom, ask if she needs anything. Or I don't know, you're going to pick up something and ask your mom if you can deliver something. There's always things you can do to incorporate your parents, right, within your daily life, even though your daily life is not necessarily dealing with Kibud Av Va'Em at that exact moment. Okay, the reward for Kibud Av Va'Em, pretty famous. Pasuk says, "Laman re'yarichun yamecha." One of the three halakos that the Torah promises long life. Whether that means long life in this world, long life in the next world, we'll tell a couple of stories. It seems to mean both. But the other two mitzvahs, by the way, are right. There's Kibud Av Va'Em. There's that you get laman re'yarichun yamecha. Any idea? There's one famous one and one that nobody knows. So the one that nobody knows is having honest weights. Being honest in business. That's the end of the Parzus Kizetze. If you have people back in the day in their store used to have weights, right, to measure out the produce. So having honest weights, the Gemara says, the Pasuk says, the man yirchun yamecha, you'll get long life. The other one is Shiluach HaKein, sending away a mother bird from the nest. That one you probably heard of. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, but long story short, the reward promise for Kibud Av Va'Em is long life. And if you can't bring yourself to do it out of spite, so at least do it for that. And do it for the long life that Hashem promises, right? Mitok and obviously we all want long life. Rav Melech tells an unbelievable story about a certain Rabbi Mordechai Moskowitz from Ashdod. He said his wife is a tremendous tzaddikas and unfortunately suffered from the machla, from the bad illness, for 4 years. And he said at the sh she passed away, and he said at the shiva the following story. He said for 4 years before that, 4 years prior to her passing away, and right, the doctors gave her 6 weeks to live. And she told the doctor that it's not true. She has insurance and she'll be fine. So the doctor asked, what in the world does that mean? So she said that she had her elderly mother in her home and she was taking care of her. Rav Melech makes it more dramatic and whatever, but he describes, long story short, he describes how she took her pills, right, of her medication, right, of taking care of her mother. And 4 years later, her mother passed away. And sure enough, the woman lived for another 6 weeks. And that the doctor was correct. She has 6 weeks to live. It's just that the clock started right after, right, she'd been done with the mitzvah of Kibud Av Va'Em. So both the wife and the doctor were right. Right? She has 6 weeks to live, but those 6 weeks, she also had the insurance of Kibud Av Va'Em. Of course, again, even if you can't bring yourself to do it for that, right, do it for the flip side, because Chazal point out, right, if Torah is offering long life for those who honor their parents, so Rachman Litzlan, God forbid, right, the opposite is true as well. Right, for those who don't honor their parents, right? Rav Chaim tells a story about the times of Chasen Ish. There was someone in the neighborhood who didn't honor their parents properly, and after that person's father passed away, right, the son passed away shortly thereafter, even though he had no health issues whatsoever. And they had said about that person in the neighborhood, right, that his father called him up to Shemayim for a din Torah about the way he treated him. That's very intense. I didn't say that, but that's in Rav Chaim's story in Okos Yosher. And they said another time, there's a story about another guy in his time that didn't honor his parents properly. And even though this guy was a Talmid Chacham, right, his kids went off the derech. And Rav Chaim says there are many stories like this. You just have to open your eyes and see what's going on. Yeah, and Rav Chaim was, they told the story that Rav Chaim was once asked if a person has two people in front of him. He has his father and another person who's a Kohen. Right? We know that the Gemara says in Yevamos and Davav that Kohanim get certain honors, right? They get the bench first, etc. And obviously the son and the father are chayev in honoring the Kohen. The Kohanim get certain kibudim. So he said, what should the son do? So Chaim said the son should honor the father. Why? Because it's pikuach nefesh. That if the son doesn't honor the father, right, Rachmana Litzlan, right, there could be issues. Getting back to the positive side of things, though, they once asked her, Rebbetzin Kanievsky, how she was able to marrying Rav Chaim. So she basically said that when she was young, right, she did keep it off aim very, very well, right? Her again, Rebbetzin Kanievsky's father was Rav Elyashiv, right? And he obviously she grew up in Yerushalayim when around the time where there were a lot of wars, right? 48, 67, etc. That she grew up in Yerushalayim and it was very dangerous to go out. And she said that she would risk her life to bring food from the distribution center in a different neighborhood because so her mother wouldn't have to go and that her father, Rav Elyashiv, could learn, right, without worrying about going getting food and stuff like that. So basically she said that that was her zechus and Rav Chaim basically was her reward. So to give chizuk, and then we'll go on a Musar rant for a second, but to sum this all up, the recorded portion of this, Kibud Av Em is a super important mitzvah. I'm not saying anything you don't know already. It is so, so important to strengthen ourselves in Kibud Av Em. It is a mitzvah that, again, rewards those who fulfill it and also rewards, the people around you. Like we said before, that if you honor your parents, your children will honor you. And it's something that you grow up in it with an atmosphere of Kibud Av Em. You can feel it in the house, right? If grandparents come over. If the parents are honoring the grandparents, it's something that makes a difference, right, in the house. There are many, again, without getting into halacha so much, I know it's not halacha share, but there are many ways you can honor your parents. It's not only getting them a cup of water, right? It's calling, it's being in touch, it's involving them in your life. There are many, many aspects to it, and it requires real study. It's not a lot of halachos, right? You can find svarim on it, you can find shiurim on it. It's not a tremendous amount in Shulchan Aruch. I think it's one or two simanim. If you have a chance to open it up, it's pretty straightforward Hebrew, right? You can really handle it. If you look at the Sefer HaChinuch, right, talks about Kibud Av Em, talks about how important it is. You can get a translation of that. I think Sefaria has Sefer HaChinuch. It's Mitzvah Lama Gimel, right? It definitely requires chizuk, and it's something that is worth it. It's something that is worth it, even though it's difficult. Maybe as difficult as it is as a teenager, right, it's something that is worth it and that will pay dividends for you guys in the end.